The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Today's theme is Power to Witness, Power to Love. It's a very apt theme for Pentecost, and thank you for those of you who are wearing red or yellow or orange or gold. Good to capture the fire of Pentecost. To fire you up, I've got a couple of questions I'd like you to talk about with a friendly person near you. Who are the people in your life who have most influenced you for Jesus, and what was it about them that helped you come to know Jesus? I invite you to just kick that around with a friendly person for a few minutes. Share your stories. Off you go. Hey. Is it good sharing stories about that? Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And just like in last service, it's sort of like the energy in the room sort of increased a bit as people shared those stories. Here's the thing. The Christian faith is passed on through trusted personal relationships. Jesus has reached out to you through the heart and the actions of other people. Now, hands up for you if it was primarily a parent. Hands up if it was a close relative, a great grandparent, uncle, auntie. Hands up. Okay, hands up if it was a Sunday school teacher, a leader at a youth camp, or what else have I got here? A person in the church who took an interest in you. A few people there. Hands up if it was a close personal friend. Okay. It's really interesting the power of families to pass the faith on when Jesus is lived out at home. Yet the real person behind drawing people to Jesus is actually the Holy Spirit, yes? It's the Holy Spirit who moves actions of love and witness. It's the Holy Spirit who actually opens hearts and minds to receive that witness and for people to say, oh, I think I want to do life with Jesus too. And at some point in our journeys, we all come to that point if you've become a Christian. This has been going on since the day of Pentecost. It's sort of like a relay race where we're passing on the baton to the next generations. And this morning, you know, it got passed on here in the Filkey family. Fantastic. This relay race, where does it finish? Where does it finish, this relay race? In heaven, in eternity. I reckon that's a fairly big deal, don't you? We pass the baton on to others, yet some of us find that difficult. If a work colleague or friend said to you, hey, you're a Christian, what difference has Jesus made in your life? Could you answer that question? What would be your witness? Who are you passing the baton to? Who is the Holy Spirit reaching through you and me? You see, Jesus' work in this world happens through his people. And I think there are two equal components to that, both telling the good news of Jesus or witnessing to Jesus and loving people in the manner of Jesus. Just imagine you were hopping on an aeroplane and the steward said to you, oh, which wing of the aeroplane don't we need today? You would say, hey, hang on a minute. We need both wings. In the same way, telling people about Jesus and loving people are two wings of the aeroplane that gets the mission of God off the ground. If we only talk to people about Jesus all the time but don't love them, in fact, we treat them poorly, why on earth would they be interested in anything else we have to say? But if we just only love people and never get round to telling them about Jesus, they'll think, oh, they're really nice people, but I can't for the life of me work out why. So both wings are important, yes? But can the plane still get off the ground just with two wings? It needs fuel, yes? It needs fuel in the tanks, otherwise it's not going to go anywhere. The Holy Spirit is the fuel behind both our witnessing to Jesus and our loving people. Let's look at how the Holy Spirit helps us in that. First of all, power to witness. After Jesus' resurrection, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem and in? And to the ends of the earth. Now, you know the disciples' track record up to this point. Did that look very likely? I mean, these are the guys who ran away from Jesus when he got arrested. These are the guys who denied him, betrayed him, forsook him. These are the guys who are locked in a room when Jesus is crucified. If I'm ever going to be witnesses to the end of the world, God's going to have to do a miracle. Well, at Pentecost, the miracle happens. At Pentecost, God gives them power, boldness, authority to share the good news of Jesus with the Jerusalem people, the actual people who'd made Jesus' murder possible. Just 7 weeks after that had happened. That's really interesting. Peter is saying, hey, you guys, you killed the promised one, the one God sent to you. You killed your Messiah. And it's really interesting because it says, when they heard this, they were, did you get it? Cut to the heart. Oh. We've got to give account to the living God for rejecting the promised Messiah. It's not going to sit well for us. What should we do? Repent. Be baptized. Let God wash you clean. Let God forgive you. Let God put his spirit into you. Let God join you to Jesus so you can do life with him and you can live under him as your king. What an amazing turnaround. A message of good news from guilt to freedom. The Holy Spirit has kept reaching down right into our time. And for many of you, your relationship with Jesus began at your baptism. When you were forgiven, when you were adopted as a loved and forgiven child of God, and each day the Spirit of God is beckoning you and wooing you and desiring to love on you and to keep reminding that you are a loved and treasured child of the living God, that God has dreams on his heart for you to fulfill, that God has an eternity waiting for you, that God wants to use you in his plan and touching others and reaching out to them so they can know Jesus too. Friends, just as the Holy Spirit gave those first disciples courage and compassion to share Jesus with people from all nations, the Holy Spirit also calls and equips us to share Jesus with those who don't yet know him. You know, sometimes we assume, oh, everybody's sort of going to make it into heaven at the end. It doesn't matter what they do or what they believe. Is that true?
No, it's not. Pastor Molly.
It's only Jesus who can get us into heaven. It's only Jesus who can clean us up and make us fit for heaven. Every person needs to know Jesus just as much as you and I do. Whenever we run out of enthusiasm to do this or fall into complacency, we need a fresh filling of the Spirit of God to fire us up again and to look at people through Jesus' eyes and move us to take steps towards them. Steps towards them to build bridges with them. Steps towards them that looking for opportunities. How can I share Jesus and help you get to know him so you can get on board on the way to heaven? Jesus urges us to actually pray for the Holy Spirit. Can we have the next slide, please? No, next one. Jesus says, if you then, though you are ratbag parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I think it's really important to ask for the Holy Spirit and to ask for God to give you opportunities and open doors for you to witness, because when you pray that prayer, that's something that the Holy Spirit, I think, will honour. However, we must do that in love, which brings us to the second wing. Is loving people always easy? Who is it easy to love? Well, the people who love on you. The people that tend to agree with you. The people you know that are on your side. What about those who disagree with you? Those who disappoint you? Those who sometimes damage you? Are they easy to love? No. We need more power to love those people, yes? I think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. It says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and God's wisdom. And when they are stoning to Stephen to death, do you remember what his prayer was? Father, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them. Wow. That's better love than I've got. Praying God's mercy for those who put him to death. That's a sort of love that only the Holy Spirit can produce, yes? That's the sort of love I need to get more of. You see, people, every person needs loving, yeah? Every person is hungry and thirsty for acceptance, for someone to listen to them, for someone to care for them, to someone to take an interest in them and help them along life's journey. Every single one of us has that craving and that need for human love. It's the sort of love that's powerful because when it's given, people tend to be more open to what you have to share with them. It provokes curiosity. It provokes questions. It opens things up for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul addresses the issue of Christian conduct. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Hands up if your words are also always building up for others all the time. Oh, I've got to confess, this is a real problem for me. So many of you have had to ring up or apologise for the stuff that's come out of my mouth that hasn't been upbuilding, that's been destructive. And we often let that go on the people we claim to love the most, yes? No, that needs to be an endangered species, that sort of stuff. Paul goes on, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of, put off, put to death all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. What's malice? Bad mouthing people. Such behaviours like this, they're unholy, they're dysfunctional, they're destructive, they are sinful and they are wrong. They damage people whom Jesus loves. They grieve the Holy Spirit. They undermine the witness of Jesus and his mission to the world. Friends, we need to keep getting rid of that sort of rubbish. How? Well, firstly, admitting it's wrong. Secondly, confessing to God that we're sorry that we've messed up and receiving his forgiveness afresh, and with that forgiveness, the power of the Holy Spirit to bear the positive fruit of Jesus' character, not the ugly stuff that our sin nature is capable of. Yes? In the next verses, Paul highlights this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know what? If you are bitter and angry and going on and bagging on, I've got unforgiveness and bitterness, the Holy Spirit's not going to be able to use you very effectively. An unclean spirit gets into you and poisons your soul. Forgiveness is powerful and unforgiveness is powerful. One will do you good, the other will kill you. He goes on, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us. Michael was right before that preacher at the wedding last night. The power of love, it brings transformation. It brings hope. It brings healing. And when you love people in the way of Jesus, it's like Jesus reaches out and touches broken people and starts to mend broken lives and puts broken people back together again. It is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And it opens ways to that you can then communicate the good news of Jesus to them and go, why are you loving on me? Why are you doing this? What's the love of Jesus that produces this in me? It's got nothing much to do with me. God just happens to use me. Yes? So how do we receive this power to witness, this power to love? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, how does the Holy Spirit get into us? How? You ask him. Good Lutherans will say, God's grace and the power of his Holy Spirit comes to us through his word and his sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. Is that still true? I think it is. It's objective. It's God coming to you and God getting into you. You've just got to get in some space where you can receive that, yes? But I think the Holy Spirit also works through the body of Christ as we talk about the good things of God and discuss them, and as we wrestle with this Word of God in groups or in our families, then this Word of God starts to wrestle with us and the Spirit is working with us, gradually shaping us to be more and more like Jesus. It happens as we reflect on the Word of God, as we pray the Word of God, as we seek to live the Word of God. That's how the Spirit of God gets into us and transforms us. Do you want some more of that? Okay, we're going to do a little exercise where I'm going to invite you to pray for one another. You need to get with a friendly person, one other friendly person, and you must know their name because you're actually going to pray for them by name. I'm going to get you to lay a hand on that person and to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, please fill John or Jane with your Holy Spirit. Amen. And then you're going to swap over. Can you do that? Okay. Well, first person, you do it, but make sure you know the person's name. Anybody not? Fantastic. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.